Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah Killings, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I am so excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. And at the top of the hour, if my good friend is listening, I have to say happy birthday to her, to give her a little shout out, Miss Candace. And then I have to give a good shout out to my baby girl. Praise God, she graduated on Saturday with her second degree, with a degree in physics, can you believe that, and a minor in, what is the health, something health? Public health, yes. public health. And then in December, she graduated with engineer systems and industrial engineer degree. And so I'm very excited that my baby has 2 degrees. She's still got to catch up to me, but nevertheless, she's on her way. And so I want to make sure I get those shout-outs at the top of the hour. And then I can't forget my baby boy, who graduates on tomorrow. He graduates from kindergarten. But nevertheless, I am so grateful that you took the time to dial in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday night. Well, we have a word on high. It's definitely something that I've never done before, so praise God. We want to make sure we get into that, but I want to make sure that I thank those of you that may be tuning in for the very first time. If this is your first time, like I said, my name is Leah Killen. Most people call me Dr. Happy, and I'm excited that you decided to tune in. Our goal with Empower to Change is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. We always want to say an encouraging word because the word is encouraging. And then we want to make sure that we always do something where we're educated, where we're stretched. May not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely something for us to look at and possibly go back and define to find out what it is that God would have for us to gain from the information and then study it and then be empowered by whatever it is that God wants us to change or to fix. And then not only keep it to ourselves, but to share it with someone else. So I thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. And I thank those that are the persons that invited you to tune in. Now, for those of you that have been with me, can you believe 10 years moving to 11? Amen. That's a long time to be in one vein. But praise God, you've been here with me. You kept me encouraged. You kept me focused. And you keep me studying to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach the word. And so for you, I always thank you. And those of you that pray for me the most, you know who you are, and I know who you are, and I thank God for you. So praise God for you, and praise God for those that may even be listening, that may listen to the pre-record after, and I didn't get to call you out live. I thank God for you, too, because you tune in and you listen on the pre-recordings through the week, so God bless you, too. Now, I have to call these two people by name, and that's Jesse and Tammy Store, because without them, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me. And so I will always call their name out because they have been here to support me from day one. They pushed me out and told me I could do it when I didn't think I could, but they said you could do it. And I praise God, 10 years later, here I am, and we're all still doing what God called us to do, and that is to minister the word of God and make them perfect examples. And so I will always call their names out and the Omega Ministry Group for their commitment to being positive and extraordinary vessels in the kingdom. So God bless you all. Now, the best phrase has to go to my father. He's your father. He's my father. He's all of our fathers, whether we believe it or not. He's all of our fathers. And so we always want to make sure that we identify everybody that's in the circle. Amen. And so that we'll go to prayer and give him praise before we go into our lesson. And so I thank God for the song that we over, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. So I thank God for getting us geared up to talk about this topic. But we'll start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for being the vine, for allowing us to be branches and allowing us to be connected to you, because without you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, when we're connected to you and we're connected correctly, we can bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And your word says that when we don't produce, we're thrown away. And so, Father, we want to be true. We want to be true to what you've called us to be. We want to be true to what you said we're supposed to be. We want to be true what you created us to be. And we want to be excited about doing what you called us to do. We thank you, Father, for loving us enough to not just leave us hanging and allow us to figure this out on our own. But you gave us resources. You gave us tools to be able to do what we're called to do. You gave us the word that's our roadmap that gives us instruction. And even though we don't understand it all the time, you didn't stop with that. You gave us the Holy Spirit that gives us a better understanding, that pricks our minds and picks our hearts so that we can not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And Father, you didn't stop there. You dumbed yourself down and made yourself in the human flesh so that you could pay the price that needed to be paid so that we could live with you eternally. And so for that, we say thank you. For that, we say thank you that we're covered in the blood. For that, we know that we have a righteous
key that gets us into the kingdom to live with you forever. And then because of all the things in that you sacrificed and did and you took, oh, amen, you gave us the example to know that we can endure and we can still be the light that you call us to be, and that we don't have to let anything cover our light, that we have to be bold like you were and do the things that you've called us to do and do it with integrity. So, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. We thank you that you were going to go before this word, that you're going to make sure that the word is defined purposely for those that need to hear it, for those that need to change. You will give them the desire, you will give them the will to make sure that they make the necessary changes, and that we'll all will be obedient to what we hear to be the soldiers that you've designed us all to be. So, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and we believe in Jesus' name that there'll be no distractions, there'll be no hindrances, and that they'll get whatever it is that they need from this word, including myself. We love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, ready to jump into a pool that I've never jumped in on live before. Now, you know, most of you that know me know that I'm very transparent, and so I have these conversations, but I just never did it online because I don't want to be controversial, and I have a different mindset when it comes to some ministers, if you will. Because I really believe that God wants us to operate in love. And so because of that, that's my message. That's my ministry, because my name is Happy. I come from a happy place. And I try to make sure that when I'm even doing any rebuke or doing anything that God assigns me to do, because I try not to do anything without his permission. But sometimes we lean to our own understanding because we're human and we're flesh. And so we always have to remember when we do find ourselves leaning to our own understanding that we have to repent. And the coolest thing about repenting is it's easy. You just do it. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then you try to do your best to do what is necessary to change. But you got to know that you can't do it by yourself. You got to trust him. You got to believe in him, and you got to give it to him. Because those of you that know me know I love me some Pepsi, and I love me some a lot of stuff I shouldn't be eating. But nevertheless, most of the time in my will, I do all right sometimes, but every once in a while, my flesh craves a little Pepsi. And so today I thought I was good, and I was like, God, I'm just going to do a Sprite. And so, amen, my stomach is talking to me, so I know, okay, Lord, you told me to leave the drink alone. I have to be obedient. And see how easy that was for me to just slip. Amen. So I reasoned to believe because it wasn't Pepsi, it would be okay. But amen, we have to be obedient. And so when we're not, we have to pay the consequences. And whatever those consequences are, amen, we ask for God to give us endurance and to give us the strength and give us the understanding to get through them. But sometimes we have to go through them. And so sometimes when there are things and topics that come up in life that we don't want to talk about, that we don't want to address, that we hide, those are not the things that we need to hide from. Those are the things that we need to put on the front burner. You know, sometimes when you're cooking and you have to cook something for a long time, sometimes it's easier to put it on the back burner because, amen, you can leave it there. So the things that you need to get done right away, you keep those on the front because you can watch them and you can turn the heat up a little higher because you're closer to it. And so you have to keep your eye on it. And the things on the back burner, you kind of just kind of let slide. Sometimes if you're not careful, it can burn up. And so I want to make sure that the lesson that we share on tonight, that we recognize that sometimes these topics we leave on the back burner and we don't talk about them. And so what am I talking about? I'm talking about identity and what we identify as. And over the past weekend, it was interesting to me how these topics kept coming up. And so, like I said, I don't like to talk about controversial things as much just because I don't believe we should ever, ever, ever argue the word. And I don't think that we should ever condemn or judge anybody because at some point in this journey, we made mistakes. And so somebody gave us grace and somebody was patient with us and loved us through, and we came into the knowledge and understanding of the word. And so sometimes some of us can be judgmental. And some of us can say things and cause the person or even myself for that matter to stumble even more. And so we have to be mindful that we always do things in the way and in the will of the things of God. And so when we talk about identity and how do you identify yourself, I want to make sure that I define it. And then I want to make sure that I explain why I believe God laid this on my heart to share. And then I want to talk about why it's important that we all have this conversation and why it's important that we have this conversation, because there's dangers in not talking about this topic. And there's also benefits of having this conversation. And then at the end, I want you to be able to know, where are you in this conversation? And then how do you identify with your identity? And so when we talk about how do you identify as, you're basically saying, I belong to a particular group or category, or it's how you describe yourself as what you belong to, or how you associate and present yourself. Now, in reference to where God is leading me, like I said, this is a topic that I have on a personal level, but never in open, because, again, I don't want to ever seem like I'm condemning anybody or anyone. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying, that I'm not promoting anything and I'm not taking away, but I am putting it on the table because it needs to be discussed. So when we talk about the identities that God laid on my heart to share on tonight, are dealing with the LGBTQ community. And sometimes we don't recognize that people in this particular category or group are discriminated against, they're abused and they're abandoned and they're neglected and they're kind of thrown away, if you will. And so I believe that the reason why this community fights so strong is because they're trying to find love. And so when you are in a place where you have to have a name to identify you, in my humble opinion, I mean, and this goes across the board, and that's why I believe that this lesson will be heartfelt for all of us, for every category, because even those of us that call ourselves Christians, sometimes we call ourselves Christian so that we can be part of a family. We don't quite always understand what we're involved in or what we're trying to associate ourselves with. And so when we view this community in particular, sometimes we look through the wrong lens. And it's interesting to me, and it has always been interesting to me, even before I became a licensed and ordained minister, it always puzzled me how we can always put this particular category group out of the church, how they were destined to go to hell. But we dealt with the liars and the murderers and adulterers and the fornicators, and they can go. They can be deacons, they can be preachers, they can be Sunday school teachers and leaders, but somebody that looks different than us, that acts different than us, we put them in a different category. And then we use scripture. But we can use scripture for the same thing of lying, cheating, and fornicating. Why do we single one group out more than we do the other? And my goal here today is to make us all understand why it's so important for us to not look through lenses with judgment. And we get so caught up with judgment. And it's not just this particular community. It's all of us. We become self-righteous. We become so indignant that, you know, my way is the way. And sometimes it's not necessary the way that God would have us to carry that conversation or that action or whatever it is that we're discussing. But it's very important that we understand that we have to do this God's way, because at the end of the day, all of us want to identify with something. And that's why so many of us that call ourselves Christians, while we laid our hearts down at the altar, because whatever we were going through, we were missing something. We were empty. We were lost. And most people that join organizations, from fraternities to sororities to clubs to whatever, You're looking for something to give you something, whatever that something may be. And so I don't want to prejudge or put other people in crisis because people do what they do, why they do it. Amen. I can only speak for myself. And I think sometimes we get caught up when we speak on behalf of people when we don't know. We just don't know. And that's why it's so important for us to go to God and speak what he tells us to say, not lean to our own understanding. I heard that quite a bit this weekend, that sometimes we lean to our own understanding, and that is so very true. In all our ways, we should trust him and let him direct our path. And so on today, we want to make sure that all of our voices are heard and that our experiences are understood and that we understand that all of us have a unique need that needs to be addressed in this culture that we're living in where everything goes and where everything is discussed and where nothing is a secret and everything is out and everything is this or that. And depending on if you're watching this form of social media or that form or TV or books or magazines, I mean, even some from the pulpit, praise God, are saying things that not necessarily the way God would have designed it. But nevertheless, if we don't take the time to really go to God and go to the one that originated all of us, the one that originated this whole system, we have to go to the things of God to make sure that we understand where we are and who we need to follow. We get caught up because this is the going trend, so I'm going to do it. But we don't seek God to ask him if this is what we should do. And so I've always been an advocate. Years ago when I was doing some type of training where it was teaching us how to plan our days and how to keep our plans together and how it had quotes every day. And one of the quotes that really stood out to me, and I can't remember how it was said, but amen, I'm grateful that God gave me an understanding of how to take things that I see or what I read and I can make them work for me. And so people tease me often because they're like, Leah, you could see a piece of gum or a wrapper or a chew piece of gum or whatever, you know, anything, and I can make a message out of it. And it's not necessarily me. It's the wisdom that God has given me to be able to take that, to be able to relate, because I love people and I love teaching and I love making things relate to him because, praise God, I take my assignment seriously. And so when I saw this phrase, I thought, wow, this is so true. This is spiritual. It had nothing to do with from an earthly sense. This was totally spiritual. What you think about, you talk about. What you talk about, you bring about. Now, I can't remember how the phrase was said because I've said this so much that this is my version of it. But it's true. If you think a thing long enough, you'll meditate on it and you'll mesmerize and see yourself and visualize yourself and different things, then it becomes part of your heart. And the word said what's in your heart comes from your mouth. And so we speak those things, and then because we speak those things, now we've given it life. And so God said that there's power in our tongue. We give the words that we have, we give power. There's life and death in the tongue. Thank you, Lord. And so whatever we say, we give life to it. And so what we talk, what we think about, now we're pondering it. It's in our heart. It's coming out of our mouth now. We're talking about it. Now we're giving it life. So now we can bring about. So whether we give life to it or not, it doesn't matter which way it goes unless you say it correctly. Because it can be for change for good or it could be for destruction. So we have to be careful of the things that we allow to come out of our mouths. And so we know that God spoke a word and it gave life. So when we speak life, are we speaking death or are we speaking life? And so we got to remember that whatever we speak, it has power. And so we have to be mindful what we're saying. And so in order to do that, we first have to educate ourselves. And that's why I love being an educator and why I love how God has allowed me to take what I'm doing to make it and put it into practice for my own life. And so I think that's kind of the premise that I minister from, because I want everybody to get it. I really, really, really believe the word of God. And so because I believe the word of God, a lot of times I feel isolated or I feel put out because I'm following what God is telling me to do. And sometimes it doesn't look favorable to everyone. But I had to learn that it doesn't matter. As long as you're doing what God calls you to do, he'll manifest the results. And so if you understand why you're doing what you're doing, then praise God, you can control the things that you do. So I tell my daughter often, things aren't just going to change because you want them to change. You have to put that in motion. I talked to my stepmother a couple weeks ago and explained that to her too. You could want and believe that God is just going to come and he's going to remove cancer from my stomach. And but I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink Pepsi 5 times a day, and I'm going to drink 2 liters, and I'm just going to keep that acid in my stomach, and I'm going to keep taking all the medicine that I take, and I coat my stomach. I'm going to do all these things, but I'm believing God's going to heal me. And I'm speaking that. But am I really speaking that from my heart? Because am I really giving that the word that I'm saying life, or am I really speaking death unto myself? Because I'm not lining up my actions with my words. And so if I want to do better, I have to educate myself what that looks like. And so what does it look like for me to not be judgmental when we're talking about the things of other people? When I look through the eyes and through the experiences of others, and I automatically take my presupposition, how I was raised, what I was taught, good, bad, or indifferent, and impose that on someone else, is that God's will or is that my will? Am I approaching that situation in love or in judgment? And so we have to be mindful when we judge. And so, of course, you know, I'm a teacher, so I had to look up the word judgment. And so when we judge others, we have to be mindful. Now, I love that there's the Google says that there are 3 instances in the Bible where God calls us to judge others. We are judged to keep ourselves and others from falling into sin and temptation. And then sometimes we're judging just because we're being critical and condemning. And so we want to make sure that when we judge, we do it to build and to correct and to connect with love and understanding. It is human nature for us to believe that that we should be the same. That because I do it, you should do it. And because, as parents say, you do what I do, you do what I say, and not what I, amen. We spend so much time pushing people to do what we want them to do, and we don't realize we push them away. And so we have to be mindful that we take that word judgment, because sometimes we think it's, I'm making you do what I want you to do. That doesn't have anything to do with judgment. I love that the Bible, because the other thing is I don't judge people, because the Bible says don't judge people. And that's Matthew 7:1-5. But the synopsis of it is judge not that you would not be judged. Jesus didn't command us to never judge, but he's asking us to change our hearts, that when we walk through judgment, that we're doing it to do it in love, and that we check our motives and our intentions. And so we have to be mindful, what does the Bible say about judgment? Because sometimes we can get so caught up that we go back to Matthew 7:5 when it gets to the part where you judge people about the specks in their eyes. But you got beams in your own. And sometimes we can't see clearly to get the speck out of somebody else's eye when we got beams in our own eyes. So we have to be mindful that we're not overly criticizing or hypocritical. And so we want to be able to correct when we are in error. And I believe that's why God gave me this particular subject to talk about, because I think sometimes we judge so quickly, and we're afraid to talk about the subject. And so because we are afraid to talk about the subject, we don't talk about it enough so that we can have a better understanding. I had a conversation with a lady once, and she said that her son told her he was gay, and so he couldn't come home, and that she cut him off. She wouldn't talk to him anymore until he gave his life back to the Lord. So my question to her was, well, is he still your son? And she said, yeah, but I didn't raise him that way. So I said, so are you avoiding him because you feel like you failed some kind of way for him to get to that lifestyle? Or are you really not speaking to him because he's gay? She got mad. And she's like, I'll never talk to you again. And so I realized I struck a nerve. And so I asked her, I said, well, sometimes we all, as mothers, when our children go in a way that we don't want them to go in, we try to find reason why they did what they did. And I'm sure fathers do it too, but I'm a mother, so I can speak from a mother's perspective. But we always try to figure out, did I not teach enough? Did I have them around the wrong people? Did I have them at the right schools? And we try to find all these reasons trying to justify the behavior and the actions of our children. And so God reminded me, He doesn't do that for us. He's not whirling around. He knows that we have free will and we make our own decisions. And so sometimes it could be that we neglected to stop this, involvement of this, or they watch too much TV or whatever their influence may have been, but they had to make a choice on their own. And because they made that choice, they're going to have to deal with the consequences or the benefits, good, bad, or different, whatever they come from. But we can't blame ourselves and then act accordingly out of judgment. And so we do that sometimes. And so we have to be cautious and we have to be careful. And so, of course, a few months later, the lady came back to me and she apologized. And she said it hit her because she did think it was her fault. And so I told her at the end of the day, and I'm grateful that God has blessed me to study enough that I wanted to do diversity training. And so I learned a lot, and I have a whole different perspective on how we see people. And sometimes because we've been raised that, this particular community that I outlined with the alphabet, the acronyms, they're damned to hell. And so that mindset, we see that. And that's all we see. We don't see the love. We don't see how we can reach them in love. And then maybe, that's God's job to tell them who they are. He made them. We didn't make them. God made them. And that's God's responsibility. We are to operate in love and love only. We get caught up with the judgment, and not just that community, just people that sin in particular. But we forget we sin too. And so how would we feel if people treated us the same way we treat others? How we ostracize people, how we put them out. It's interesting to me how we don't realize it, but we're making the devil's job easy. We blame the devil for so many things, and many times it ain't even him. It's us. It's us. We won't own our mistakes. We won't own our errors. And so we give place to the devil for him to just jump on and ride. And so I love the fact that if we just give these things to God and let God work them out, it may not be in the first year. It may not be in the seventh year. But eventually God will move in his timing, because our job may be just to water. And somebody else's job may be to actually dig up the soil so that because we watered, it's soft enough that they can dig it up so that we can even plant seed. Somebody can plant a seed and then come back so somebody still has to water it, and then God gets the increase. But I think because we're so judgmental and we're not asking God and we're not seeking God our place, we don't know where the position is in that person's life, where we're supposed to be. That's why it's important that we ask. And that's why I go back to my favorite chapter of John 15. If he's the vine and we're the branch, and if we're connected to him to grow, so are they. And so in order for them to bear the right fruit, they're going to have to be obedient too. And for those of us that know the word, we know the word. We read the word. The word says that when we speak things to people that don't have the understanding, it is foolish to them. So that's why you have to love them. You love them to life, and you love them to the things of God. Now, I'm not saying that this particular community is bad. I'm not saying that. My message is to make sure that we're not judging, because like I said, I had an instance this weekend, and I'm about to share my testimony in a moment, why it was so prevalent. But it's comical to me how we can easily, I'm talking about us Christians, can single out this community, but we won't single out all the other sins. We have to call a spade a spade. We have to call sin a sin. And that's how God looks at it, is sin a sin. He's not categorizing our sins, because if he did, praise God, many of us would have been caught off from the vine. But we have to understand why it's important for us to even understand. Many of us kind of understand lying because you know, we kind of have done that, you know. Many of us have kind of killed people, not necessarily with knives and guns, but we've killed people with our words. We know what that looks like when we say something that hurts somebody to the core, that can change the trajectory of their lives because they took what you said and they took it that you meant it. I remember my girlfriend said that her mom said she didn't love her. And that ate her up because she believed it. And then when she finally got up enough courage to tell her mom, you know, when you said that hurt me. And she said, girl, did you really believe that? Did you really believe that? And she said, well, that's what you said. So I had no choice but to believe. So sometimes we have to be really mindful of the things that we say. I know my daughter was acting a little interesting. Mind you, the one that has the physics major and the engineer degree. I said, you know, you're acting a little autistic. You know, I don't know. Should we have you tested? Now, I probably shouldn't have said, well, no, probably. I shouldn't have said that. But I said it, and you know, I didn't think anything of it. But it was years later, and she's like, Mom, I really felt like I wasn't smart enough. And I'm like, how could you believe that? You know, you make good grades. How could you believe? So we got to be mindful. And so, of course, when I looked up what autistic mean, it had nothing to do or what I was, so we have to be mindful what we're saying, and we just loose lips. When I say loose lips, sink ships. We got to be mindful of what we're saying. And so I said that I'm talking about this particular category because it's important to me that we all understand that we have to have an understanding. Because if our children come to us or someone comes to us, and we just automatically attack and don't have an understanding of what it is, how do we reach? How do we operate in love? And so, of course, I looked it up. And so I realized that when I was growing up, nobody ever talked about this, ever, because it was, you know, it wasn't even about the church. It was just nobody talked about it. And so maybe if we had talked about it more, maybe people could have been, you know, more understanding of who they are and why their bodies felt the way that they felt. And maybe they could have made better decisions or did different things or whatever the situation could have been. But understanding, we have to have understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And so if we don't know how to have these calm conversations, you see how I'm calm. Last week I was a little annoyed. Remember the topic, annoyed. But nevertheless, I'm calm today because this conversation really hit me and hit me at home because I had to address it. And so I wanted to make sure that I went through it before I got into the actual understanding of it. But LGBTQIA, that was different, didn't understand that. And now it's LGBTTIQQ2SA. And I thought, wow, we keep adding letters. And I've seen, you know, different comedians, you know, make fun about the alphabet community and different things. And I had to remind myself, you know, it's easy for us to laugh at jokes when we're not in that group or that particular thing. But then when they start talking about fat people, then it's like, that's not funny. That's not cool. Because I was going to say I've been there. I'm kind of still there. But I'm getting better. But nevertheless, when you're in that group, it hits you a little different. And so I think what God wants us to understand is that every time somebody hurts, we should all feel it. We should all understand that people are confused because there's so many things that are going on and being thrown at us that people are just want to identify. And so L stands for lesbian, a homosexual woman. And so I may not have all these right either. Nevertheless, I'm getting this on the internet too. But gay is a homosexual person. And when we were growing up, it was just a guy, but nevertheless. And then bisexual is a person that's attracted to both male and female. And then you have transgender, a person who identifies with gender identity that's different from his or her sex. And then you have the Q, which is queer, which I never understood because that was derogatory when I was growing up. But nevertheless, it's a person who is a transgender or not heterosexual. And then the other Q is questioning, and it relates to your sexuality or your gender identity. We just don't quite know. And then we have the two-bearded and then the allies. And so I thought it was interesting how we've even gone a little further. And this I'm gonna do this first, and then I'll go there. The pronouns. And so now we can't identify as boy or girl, a woman or man. Is he, she, but I get confused. And I think even all the letters, it becomes confusing. And so I was reading this article, and it says that, you know, often we're using these instructions to refer during conversations, but we just don't know how people want to be addressed. And so we're scared to talk now because we don't know if it's him, his or he, she, hers or hers, they, them or theirs. And then there's these, theirs, or theirs. I didn't know what that one was. And then the theys and the thems. And then I like the way the article ended. It said, just call me my name. Because we get confused because there's so many things that are going on. And like I said, we're just grasping. And so somebody was telling me that this man is taking, you know, this to the Supreme Court, that he really wants to be identified as a dog. And I know that my cousins, when I was in Vegas, were saying that, not my cousins, but their one of their close friends was sharing that she had to pull her child out of school because they were allowing the kids to identify with whatever animal they wanted. And so they had a kid peeing in a kitty box. And so she thought it was just too much. The kids are just too young and they're impressionable and they don't know who they are, and we're throwing these things, and they're younger and younger. And so I just believe that people should be wise and understand, have a level of wisdom and understanding before we're thrusted upon how we're doing sex changes on children. And then when they get of age, they realize that they didn't really identify with that sex. And so, but now all their genitals are gone. And I mean, we're in a mess, and it's because we don't understand. And so in order for us to understand, we have to go back to the person that created us. And so whatever God tells you, who am I to tell you what he told you? Amen. We can say we can go to the word, and we can find scriptures, but we can find scriptures to counteract whatever we wanted to say. So my aim and my quest for each of us tonight is to not necessarily judge, not necessarily. We were at my daughter's graduation, and you saw all walks of people. And I grew up in a predominantly white environment. And so, of course, my black community didn't quite understand what grunge was. And I think that's the right word. But I love black. I've always loved black. But I love the, I think it's grudge. I don't even know what the category of the people they call them. But I love that gothic look. I just love it, love it. But I couldn't dress like that. My family would put me out. So I could never do it. And so then when I learned, you know, the stereotypes that go with it, I thought, oh, wow, that's what that means. And then, of course, I got a chance to meet with somebody that was, you know, dressed that way. And she knew about the word more than I did. And so sometimes we can get so judgmental looking at people and judging people that we have to be careful, that we have to just believe that we're being the light for someone, that we're doing what God has called us to do, and we're speaking when God tells us to speak, and we're keeping our lips closed when he tells us to be quiet. Sometimes we can make it worse than what it is. We can force our children into things that we just don't understand. I'm going to tell my testimony, and then I'm going to tell you what God said and what Jesus said about who they are and how they are identified, I put it that way. So a couple of days ago, you know, my house is a little in disorder a little bit. And so my daughter's like, you know, Mom, I don't know that I ever want to deal with men. And I said, baby girl, at this age, you don't need to be dealing with men no way. I said, you're a kid. You boys is what you should be saying. She said, no, Mom, I don't know. And I said, well, what does that mean? She's like, I think I'm going to be pansexual. And I'm like, what? And so, of course, now, you know, my judgment had come on. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? And she said, yeah, she said, I'm attracted to both. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And she said, I don't know. I think I am. And I was like, well, I'm attracted to Janet Jackson, but I ain't trying to get with her. And so, of course, you know, this level, you got to talk to them how they talk. And so she kind of went on. And so I was like, well, who have you been talking to that, you know, is in this environment? And so a couple of the girls that she played volleyball with, and so now I'm piquing my interest. Okay, oh, do I control who she's talking to? And then it was just find out what she knows. I'm like, so if you like girls, this is what girls do with each other. This is what you want to do? And she was like, ew, no. And I'm like, well, how could you claim something that you don't even know what it's about? And so, of course, that was my opportunity to then teach her and to show her. And so she had no clue, but she was saying it because her other friends were saying it. And so my point to all of us today is that we need to have these conversations, because many times people are saying that there's something just because they're around that group, and not to be isolated, because bullying is real, and is real with adults as much as it is with children, that we do things because the group is doing it, or enough people that we just don't want to be left out. I know that growing up, you know, I was tortured into Christianity, that I was afraid to do anything, and so I was afraid to drink anything, and so every once in a while they would say, Leah, come go with us. And so a couple of times I would go, but I didn't drink because I didn't know what to order. I didn't know, you know, I didn't like beer. It was nasty to me. And so a friend of mine that was in ministry, he said, Leah, you know, he said, you got to be mindful, because your goal, he said, to feel comfortable, he said, you may get you a water with a little lime or a little lemon and put it on and make people think you're drinking and get a straw and sip out of it. And you're drinking water, but eventually somebody's going to invite you to, you know, something, you know, a little fruity. But this ain't nothing. And then before you know it, you know, if that's where you want to go, amen. But if that's not where you want to go, then you might want to assess the people that you're hanging with. And sure enough, it didn't take, you know, the first couple of weeks. It was some years, and it was, yeah, try this fuzzy navel. You know, this is real sweet. You know, you like orange juice and pineapple juice. And then they made it real, you know, juicy. And so, you know, it was real watered down. I'm like, this is good. Can I have another? And so everybody's like, woo! And so before I knew it, I had two or three of them, or three or four of them probably. But then I realized, wow, okay, this is how you get started. And so, of course, now the music's going and I love dancing. I thought, I could get really lost. I could get caught up. But it was just then that God knew my assignment, and he reeled me in and protected me from that environment, because I would have been lost completely, because I love that environment, the music and the dancing and the lights. I don't even have to drink. I could just go and have a really good time. But nevertheless, we have to identify with who God has made us and assigned us. And so we have to recognize when we're mature enough to do the things that God called us to do, so we can't hang around or can't be around the influences that will distract us from where we are. And so one of the things that I wanted to share is that we know that those of us that believe God, that we believe he is our supreme and true God. He is the one that we've known and will know forever, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he reveals himself to those who study him. And so when we get to 1 Corinthians 2:10, they have the NIV, but due to time, I'm going to go ahead and read the Message version. And so the Message version, I love, because it kind of gives you more of a conversation to help you understand. So instead of 2:10-16, which I would have focused on in the NIV, the Message, you know, it always adds a couple extras to scriptures to get its general view. So it starts at verse 6. It says, we, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get on your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom, or the high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interiors of purpose. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more likely the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring us out to be our best, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what his internal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of God's design in his life on the cross. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and you've heard it because God by his Spirit has brought it all out into open before you. The Spirit, not content to flirt around with the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except yourself. The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation, and he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus that we're passing it on in the same way, firsthand, personal way. Group of scriptures, 14 to 16. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. The Spirit can only be known by the Spirit. God's Spirit is our Spirit in open communication. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing. We can't be judged by the unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing? He has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. And in the NIV version, it says we have the mind of Christ. So if you want to know what God is doing for you and through you, you got to ask him. All these names and adjectives and pronouns that the world is coming up with for us to identify, we have to have comfort animals, we have to have all these things that in my generation, we made it through, and the generations before me and before them and before made it through. But because the enemy's design is to kill, steal, and destroy all by confusion. There is so much confusion because people don't know who to identify with. But we have to identify with the things of God. I love that when Jesus, the lady, that the adulterous lady came to him, he didn't accuse her. He wrote down in the sand, and he let them go through and do all that bickering between each other, and just wrote in the sand. And eventually, one by one, all those that wanted to stone her, after he said, if anyone was without sin, cast the first stone. And that goes back to, you know, we're so quick to blame people. Beat them, you know, they should be kicked out. They don't need to be at the church. They can't be in ministry. We're so quick to judge. And we ourselves are in violation of something, but we'll hide our sin. We won't let our sin be revealed. Why? Because we know what it'll look like to other people. But then we'll be those same people that will judge other people. Saints, we can't do that. We have to operate in love. Remember, he's the vine, we're branches. And eventually, if we're not right, God will correct us. He is in the delivering business. He's in the delivering business. And if we believe the word, we have to believe that he's going to straighten them out. So just pray. I was telling my uncle this weekend, I said, you know, it's funny how we can be so forgiving to some. I got to do what I got to do, and you got to forgive me. If it's wrong, you got to forgive me. But I have to do what I believe is right. And so sometimes it may not look the way that we want it to look. I'm sure that, what's his name? I see him. He sings gospel, and he was gay to the core. And so, you know, and he was in the word. And then one day God convicted him, and he said, you know, I can't do this anymore. Does that mean that being gay was wrong? That's for him and the Lord to decide. Amen. We know what the word says, but look how long it took him. But look at where he is. He is a light, and he is drawing people to Christ. And so all those people that judged him prior to, where are they? You know, we got to be mindful. We have to operate in love. It says, if anyone does not invite me, he's thrown away. God will separate the wheat from the tares. We got to believe he'll do that. That's not our job. That's not our job. Our job is to love and to love only. Love them and pray for them. And God will do what is necessary if it's necessary. We may not know. It may be necessary for that lifestyle. We don't know. God's ways are not our ways. He is thought above our thoughts. He will allow certain things in order for other people to be blessed and be delivered. I mean, who knew that I would lose my vision, amen, and then gain it back? And how all the people that witnessed and walked with me through that process, that was a light. A lady still calls me a walking miracle. Little does she know that I had all this other stuff. But nevertheless, that was enough for her to believe God when she had challenges with her eyes. If God will do it for one, he's not a respecter of person, he'll do it for me too. And I just have to believe that he's going to do it for me. Now, I know that I'm running out of time because, you know, I love to talk. And praise God, I'll keep talking. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you, where are you in the conversation? Are you condemning others? I love how Jesus says, I am. And he said, I am 7 times in the book of John. And so I don't have time to go through all of them, but maybe we'll talk about that next week, all the I am. So the 7 main ones. But I love the reference on how when he came, he didn't tell everybody he was God, but he was. But he did it because he had to make sure that he was on their level of understanding. But because we have the Holy Spirit and we have understanding, we have revelation, we can see now walking through the scriptures that the scriptures, Exodus, it says what God revealed to Moses as I am. So if God is I am, then Jesus is I am, then they're the same people. And I think sometimes we get so caught up with baby Jesus, like he would think he is an entity that is so huge and so big. And that's why I try to do what's right, because he dumbed himself down to put this human nasty flesh on his amazing power and glory for me. And so what would it look like for me not to line up with his word and do the love? He loved us and he wanted us to be right. He didn't want us to judge one another. He wanted us to love one another and to love us all back to him. Amen. Well, I pray you got something from this lesson. The lady told me I have 90 seconds. And so I always try to close the broadcast off with my grand's favorite song, but I didn't get a chance. I may not get a chance to play it all, but nevertheless, I'll get to play some of it. But I want you to make sure that you're assessing God and asking him, Lord, am I being judgmental in areas that I shouldn't be? Am I operating in love in every opportunity that I can? And when I identify, who do I identify with? Do I identify myself as a strong person? Or do I identify myself as a person that loves you, that wants to do what's best for you? Not necessarily a Christian, because you can get caught up with that word too. Because they weren't called Christians in the Bible, but nevertheless, we follow Christ and we want to be Christ-like. We want to be believers. We want to be obedient believers. So, amen. I pray that you got something from this lesson. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. But tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring lesson. And I pray that you start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day. Bless you and have a wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all my praise? Your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.